I want you to take out your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 16. And as you're turning there, I want to just remind you of something that we have going on here at the church, and that is we are currently involved in our summertime outreach to the Las Vegas Trail area. It's one of my favorite times of year. I love going out. You say, well, what do we do, Pastor, when we do that? Well, basically, every week on Tuesday, we gather here at the church about 10:30, and we begin to put together lunches, 300 to 400 lunches usually, in that range, somewhere in that range. On a Tuesday, the Texas Department of Agriculture provides the food. We take it. They don't put any limitations on what we can do when we hand it out. If they start putting limitations on it, then we'll start getting the food somewhere else. But as of right now, they put zero limitations as far as what we can do spiritually. So we meet here on Tuesdays at 10:30, and we begin to put together lunches. And then we go out into the Las Vegas Trail area, and we go door to door looking for children whose parents are working during the summer and they're having to stay home with relatives or staying home, many of them by themselves. Yeah. A lot of them, the oldest kid is designated as the babysitter. And there will be several other children there in the apartment that they're watching. It's always very interesting to me when I walk up to an apartment and I say, how many children do you have in the apartment under 18? They go, wait a minute, let me count. Yeah. That always makes me a little bit nervous. You know, I'm not exactly sure how many I have, but let me look. And, you know, we go out there and we hand out those lunches, and then we just touch people, we love on people, we minister to people, and we pray for people. And man, there's been some powerful encounters out there. And anybody's invited to come up on a Tuesday and help out. But with that being said, we're also getting prepared in the month of September? August. I'm trying to keep my months straight. When we're going to do a back-to-school outreach there in the Las Vegas Trail area. And last year, we were able to hand out 300 free backpacks with school supplies in them. We have 300 coming again this year. Now, what we need, we've got the backpacks coming. We just need the school supplies to put in them. So if you can go out and begin to just buy some school supplies, basic school supplies that kids in the Las Vegas Trail area would need for to go to school, bring them here to the church, and we're going to stuff those backpacks, and we're going to take them out and do an outreach down in the Las Vegas Trail area in which we hand those backpacks out free of charge to the people there. It's been a wonderful thing, and I just want you to encourage you. If you're ready to go on the offensive in your life against the enemy, this is a way you can do it. Amen. Get out there and begin to get in touch with people and do something for God. Some of you that feel like you're beat up by the enemy, well, it's time that you start beating him up instead of being a punching bag for Satan. Okay? Go out there and start taking ground back from him. Ask God. Say, God, how can I do that? Show me an opportunity. Show me what you want to do, and I will do that. So please bring your school supplies so that we can stuff those backpacks and hang those backpacks out to children in the next month or so. Mark chapter 16. We're going to read verses 15 through 18. And these are the instructions of Jesus right before he left to go into heaven, to be at the right hand of the Father. Here's a victorious Jesus. He's overcome death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. I mean, he has all victory and all power and all authority at his disposal. And he's about to go into heaven and sit down at the right hand of the Father where the Holy Spirit can be given to his followers to live within them and dwell within them. And these are the very last words that this victorious Jesus says to his disciples. The last direction that comes from his mouth to them is this. He says, go into all the world. Offensive words, not offensive in the fact that they hurt us or hurt our feelings, but they're words to go on the offensive. He didn't say, hold the fort, for I am coming. That's not the word that he gave. And sometimes that's what we look like as the church. Man, we're just bundled up inside our own four walls and just hoping that the devil doesn't overcome us before Jesus gets here. Well, you know, that is not the heart or the spirit of our King. When he spoke to his disciples right before he left, he told them, he said, this is what I want you to do so you don't have to wonder. Go on the offensive. These are the days in which God is taking ground that the enemy has stolen. So he told his disciples, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you want to preach it to your animals, start on them. I've never had an animal didn't need to be saved. A pet of mine, all of them needed to be saved. I think they were all heathens. But don't stop there. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes you and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Life and death, eternal decisions are going to be made in this offensive. But you are going to cause people to have to come to a decision point by your obedience. By you obeying God, it is going to provoke, your obedience to God is going to provoke people to have to come to a decision point about Christ. Isn't that awesome? And then he said, and these signs, and this is really what we're focusing on today, these signs will follow those who believe. How many of you believe? If you don't, start. The word believe there means these signs shall follow those who are constantly believing. People that don't believe for a season and then give up on their faith. Well, it didn't work this time. Well, I don't understand what happened that time. I'm not sure what's going on. And so they don't give up on the salvation of Christ, but they give up on the power of Christ. They said, Lord, it's just not moving in this hour. But Jesus said, these pursuers, these fellow pursuers will run with those who constantly believe. And then he began to list them. He said, in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will recover. And we're going to be talking about that one in the next few weeks as well. But we've been rehearsing here recently the words that the Lord has been saying to us as a church and to us as individuals. And the word, it's up on the overhead there, you can see it. The word can basically be broken down into three parts. God is telling us as a people to pursue His will, to go after the enemy. God says this is time to go on the offensive. God says that the enemy has stolen some things from some people. Some of you have had things lost over the last few years, over the last decade or more. And God is saying to us, we are in a time of recovery. That it is time for the people of God to begin to pursue Him with all of their heart. God says, I know many of you are weary. I know many of you are tired. I know some of you have been marching for a long time. I know a lot of you feel like you've been fighting for a long time. I know that many of you, life's roads have taken a different turn than what you thought they were going to take. But the Lord is saying to us as a church and to us as individuals, put those things behind you. The word for the hour is to pursue, because those who pursue in this hour have two promises from God. First, they're going to overtake the enemy. Everybody say overtake. Overtake. I don't care if your enemy has a 10-year head start on you. I don't care if what he stole from you was 10 years ago. And you feel like it's gone forever. God is saying that you will overtake your enemy. But you have to make a decision to pursue. You have to say, well, you say, keep saying God said. Why can't you keep saying that? You're not God. No, I'm not. My wife will attest to that. But I will say this. It was the word that we have been rehearsing. And this word is a word that came from the Lord. Not from me. Not from Rhonda. Not from Pastor Bob. Not from a man. The word came from God himself. To us. It came through one of our overseers, of the church and came directly to us as a people. And God is telling us it's time to get off our ashes. Everybody say, get off your ashes. Look at your neighbor and say, get up off your ashes. It's time to, mourning time is over. Crying time is over. Commiserating time is over. Gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. That time is over. The word of the Lord is saying, get up off of your ashes and pursue your enemy. And if you will do that, you say, well, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to answer that in a minute. But the Lord said, if you do that, God has a promise that you will overtake him. No matter how far he's gone or how much head start he has or how much convoluted stuff he's done in between then and now. But the next promise is one that I think even took David's breath away when God spoke it to King David. Oh, he wasn't even king at that time. He was just a vagabond moving around with a group of discontented people. God told him, he said, David, if you will pursue, I will cause you to overtake your enemies, and you're going to recover it all. Amen. You're going to recover it all. I'm not saying it's going to look in exactly the same framework as it was when it was taken. I'm not saying maybe exactly the same person is going to be restored into your life that has left and gone. But you will have a restoration in your life. God will bring someone into your life who will be a lover of God, a pursuer of the King, someone who will be have a common heart to follow the Lord. And all of your days of mourning are going to be in the past as you look at the new thing that God is doing in your life. And that's the word for us. And to pursue, you say, Pastor, how do I pursue? Each one of you needs to ask God specifically, how am I supposed to pursue? What am I supposed to pursue after? Each one of you, God has an individual direction. He's going to tell every single one of you how to go on the offensive. But now is the time to go on the offensive. You need to be ready to hear from God when he shows you how you're to do it and do it. I'm going to tell you what happened to me last night. I was sitting at home in my little chair that I have that you can only sit in about 30 minutes and then I don't have much bottom and so it starts hurting. And I have to get up and walk around. But anyway, I was sitting there, and I was thinking about this word. And the Lord said, well, you've been preaching this word. And I said, well, yeah, Lord, it's you, right? And he goes, yes, it's me. He said, but you've never asked me what the church is supposed to recover. He said, there's something the church is supposed to act. There's something that the church is supposed to go in and attack specifically to receive back. And I began to say, well, Lord, what is that? He said, well, what has the enemy stolen? And I started thinking, I thought all the way back to Rockwall. I thought about the anointing. I thought about the worship. I thought about the world outreach. I thought about the finances. I thought about the people. I thought about the zeal that the people had in those days, talking to others, gossiping the gospel all over the area. I thought about the prayer, and that was the one that moved my heart. I thought about that, and the Lord said, yes. And boy, as soon as I started thinking about those things, the Lord said, exactly. He said, now go after the enemy. You've already got my amen. He said, now go after the enemy and command him to release those things in the name of Jesus. He said, because this is the hour of the transfer. This is the hour of the transfer. The transfer. I thought about the revelation. That was another one. I thought about the prophecies. I thought about the words. And you know what? It seems to me, when I think about all this, my mind, Ross, can't wrap around it. I think that's impossible. But I think David was confronted with the same challenge. But when our overseer Moses was here and he was preaching, I was so listening to the Lord, and he would say things. I would think things. The Lord would say things to me, and I would have questions, or the Lord would say things to me, and the very next sentence, he would answer it. I knew it was God. It was God answering my questions. And so I know this is the Lord, and I know you're a part of it. David didn't say, sorry, boys, I've got something for me. See, you guys stay here. I'm after my thing, you discontented, lazy rabble. You can pick up your stones if you want to. If that's the way you feel, I'm out of here. God's got a word for me. I'm leaving you behind. Man, David looked at them and he said, we are together in this thing. He said, God has brought us this far. He said, let's saddle up and let's get ready to go. He didn't ask God what weapons they were supposed to take because he knew. He just knew that God was going to meet them there. He was going to guide the journey and meet them when they got there. And I'm saying to you today, it is a word from God for you. Now, you need to ask him. You need to say, Lord, what is the enemy stolen, and how do you want me to pursue? Some of you, God may tell you to pursue an interesting way that you didn't think was going to make any difference. Some of you may say you've been sitting on your, God may say to you, you've been sitting on your blessed assurance too long. It's time for you to start ministering. Minister in this area. You say, well, how's that going to cause anything to come back to me? God said, you leave that in my hands. All right, I'll take care of that. So every single one of you have a word. And you know, when I was thinking about this word, it brought back to my mind a movie I had seen. And forgive me, I'm kind of a visual person, but I love stories. And all of you heard this story and seen this, but in this movie, there's a group of very distinct people that that have been pulled together to go and save the world from evil. And as they go, I don't think they knew what to expect. I think they knew it was going to be hard, but it was harder than they thought when they got out there. There were real battles, real losses, real wars, real fatigue, real dirt, real sweat, real pain. And you know, on any type of journey like this, you always are tested with the idea of, should we just go home and sit by our warm fire, just ride this out for hours long that we have? But this group of people knew that the enemy wouldn't be satisfied with that, that the enemy's goal was to take over everything. Everything. That there would be no place safe. There would be no place out of reach from the enemy. And they had this little conversation about what they were going to do, and I just want to show you that now.
Frodo's fate is no longer in our hands.
Then it has all been in vain. The fellowship has failed.
What if we hold true to each other? We will not abandon Merry and Pippin to torment and death. Not while we have strength left.
Leave all that can be spared behind.
We travel light. Let us hunt some orc.
Is a man of war. Everybody say, let's hunt some orc. Amen. Well, that's the way our lives play out as believers in God. The Lord knows that our journey is long and hard, and that the battle against the enemy is tough and difficult. But did you see the look in the eyes when he said, let's hunt some orc? And you see that light lighting up in the eyes of those followers? Man, that's the light I'm looking for. That's the light that God is looking for. When we say we're going to pursue, and you see them, they take off in pursuit of the enemy, and they're going after things that the enemy has stolen. The enemy had Mary and Pippin and had carried them off, and they said, we are not going to abandon Mary and Pippin to torture and death. And God is looking for some people that have that type of heart, whose eyes light up at the very mention of pursuing the enemy and going into an assault against him. And you can see Aragorn had a group of men around him called the Fellowship. And they were distraught, wondering if that fellowship had failed during the entire thing. But he said, as long as we keep up our pursuit, as long as we stay together, as long as we don't give up on what has been told us, we will be victorious. We are going to go after this thing. And you, in your pursuit of what God has told you to retake, have fellow pursuers that are going along with you. You are not alone. And the Bible in Mark chapter 16 identifies our fellow pursuers in this battle. When you are running after the enemy and pursuing that which the Lord has told you to reclaim, you have these pursuers with you. You have the power to cast out demons running with you. You have the power to speak in new tongues right along beside you. You have the power to take up serpents right there with you. You have the power over the world's poison pursuing along with you. And with you, never to leave you, never to leave your side, is the pursuer the power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Now, it's a spiritual truth that demonic activity is in this world, present in the realm in which we live, just as real as it was in that realm there in which they were living. The presence of demons works together with uncircumcised flesh, causing this realm in which we live to become a battlefield. Satan seeks to control things that rightfully belong to the body of Christ. And he will take those things. He is tireless in his effort. He will take them as long as we allow him to. He will move on them as long as we stand by and watch him. He will whisper words of peace and detente in our ears while he steals with his minions and takes things away from the body of Christ. And we have to realize, brothers and sisters, that there's coming a day in which we're going to sit down in the kingdom of God. But this is not that day. Right now, we live in a time of offense against the enemy. And you must embrace the time. Let me tell you exactly what your Savior said. Your Savior, at the very beginning of his ministry, went into the synagogue one day. They handed him the scroll of Isaiah. And he took that scroll and he purposely, he just didn't read any place, the first place that it opened. He took that scroll and he purposefully found the place in Isaiah chapter 53 where it talks about him. And in Luke chapter 14, verses 18 through 21, we see the recounting of this story. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." How many of you say, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me"? All right. Then listen to what Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do." He didn't say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to ignore my calling." He has anointed me to ignore my calling. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to watch out for my family. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to get work out of being my first priority. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to give up on the things, on my dreams and visions. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to just sit still and let somebody else do all of the work. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to be on permanent sabbatical. It's not what he said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He said, "There's a trumpet in my voice, and I'm going out to let it roar." There's a roar coming out of Zion. He said, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." He said, "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives." He has sent me, anointed me for the recovery of sight to the blind. He has sent me to set at liberty those that are oppressed. He's going to send me to take the enemy's captives back from him, even to take the enemy's soldiers out of his own camp. He has sent me to take the enemy's wounded, those that have been wounded in the battle that are in the enemy's camp. He has sent me to heal them. And he said, he has sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then in verse 21, he says something I love. He said, today, everybody say today. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, Jesus announced the beginning of the battle. He said it starts today. Well, let me ask you a question. What day is it today? It's today, isn't it? Is this today? Are we still living in today? Then the war is still on. And our directions are clear. And we must follow our King into battle, expecting the victory of the Lord. The Bible says, well, that's Jesus. That's not me. Well, in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you. Amen. Same Spirit, not a junior spirit, not a little spirit, not an apprentice spirit, not a probationary spirit. Some of you feel like you're on probation from God. He's just giving you a little probationary spirit, you know, until you get yourself straightened out. And you know what the worst thing about it is? You're happy with that. God said the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And if you're ever going to embrace your calling, today's the day. Because there's going to come a time where this is going to stop being the word of the hour. And another word's going to be word of the hour. And people are going to be out there, those that have heeded the word in this hour, are going to be out there gathering spoils. They're going to be gathering spoils. And you're going to wish you had listened. And you know what? In this battle, we don't have to go running off looking for demons. Because if we're going to do God's will, we're going to run right into them. They've got a hold of the stolen stuff. So if we're going after the stolen stuff, we're going to meet them. You don't have to go around, I'm a demon hunter. Show me a demon and I'll kill him. You can't kill him. You can drive him out. But show me a demon. Just show me a demon. You don't have to do that. You know what? We don't take our orders from them. I say, Lord, what do you want me to go after? That's when I was sitting in my chair. I said, Lord, what do we go after? And the Lord said, you go after this and that, and that determines where I go. And I know I'm going to meet demons along the way. And you know the first thing I heard in my ear, not the first thing, but you know one of the things I heard in my ear? When I started stepping forward and say, I command the release of these things, the enemy said, you better not do that. He said, I'll go after your kids. He said, you better not do it. I said, no, you won't. I said, you don't have the power to do that. And you know what the Lord told me? The Lord said, you've already been through your days of sorrow, of loss of your family. He said, that's not what this day is. He said, I have restored to you what the enemy has stolen, and he is no longer anointed to touch that. He cannot touch that anymore. Don't you listen to him. He said, he's a liar, the father of lies. Everything he says, the end result of it is a lie. It's all caused to distort and lie and scare you. So you have to step up. Are you going to believe God? Or are you going to believe that other little voice that whispers in your ear that's intimidating? You're not qualified. You can't do that. The devil's a big, mean guy. Don't upset him. Jesus has already riled him up real bad. And if you're on Jesus' side, you're on the side that riles him. You've already been marked as one of them. Okay? So it's time to obey the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 tells us that the kingdom of heaven advances through force. Now, what do we do when we meet the devil? The Bible tells us we're to cast him out. And you say, what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. To cast him out, the Greek word is ekbalo. Everybody say ekbalo. It almost sounds like you're throwing up at him. Ekbalo. Come here, let me throw up on you. Ekbalo. And that means to throw out, as to evict someone from a place. to drive him out, to expel him. Say, you are trespassing. This property has been claimed by the King of Kings. I am here with the edict. Remember last week we talked about the edict. I am here with the edict that says, you are trespassing. Get out. I'm not leaving. Oh, yes, you are. This place belongs to me. Not anymore. Get out. Now. In the name of Jesus. And you know, he's a theatrical devil. He'll spin his head around or throw on the floor or vomit. He's a devil of theatrics. But don't let the theatrics worry you. I'm not worried. I'm just worried that he gets his stuff. He gone. Put a duck dynasty on him. He gone. You know what I mean? He gone. In the name of Jesus, forcibly remove him. He has no alternative but to move. And let me tell you what Jesus said in Luke 11, 21 and 22. He says, when a strong man fully armed guards his palace, his goods are in peace. And he's talking about the enemy here. He says, but when a stronger than he comes. But when a stronger than he comes. Amen. Do you see yourself as being stronger in the Lord? Yes. You're going to have to start doing that. Would you please leave, Mr. Devil? Would it please you to leave? No. Can I make a deal with you? Yeah, I'll make deals. I don't keep them. But I'll make a deal with you. Would you please leave me alone? No. You know? And you know what you have to choose to do if you're going to have some form of detente with the enemy? You've got to choose to go by to your own fire and just sit down and not even be a part of the war. But let me tell you what, those warriors that chased after those orcs, they understood that the devil wasn't going to be satisfied till he took everything. Even their little fire was not going to be a safe place. And you got to understand that too. And he says, but when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Oh, brothers and sisters, that is awesome. The weaponry that the enemy has used against you, some of you, God has used sexual temptation against you, sexual addiction, huh? No, God, not God. Did I say God? The devil has used sexual temptation against you. God doesn't tempt any man to do evil. Thank you. Save me. Help me. What a wonderful help me. Some people just sit there and let me just say it. And then they go, I thank God for that, Pastor Bob. But some of you, Satan's used tools against you. He's had an armor that he's been using against you for years and years and years. And the Lord's plan is that you're going to pursue, you're going to overtake, and you're going to take the weaponry that he's used to defeat you away from him, and then you're going to use it to free others. Well, you're going to go to people that have been in sexual addiction, and they're going to say, well, I'm caught in sexual addiction. You're going to say, well, I was too, but I've got the enemy's weaponry right here to show you that you can be free. I took this from him. I took it from him. It's to show you that you can be free and you can be delivered and to divide the spoils. Now, there's a couple of things to remember for a successful pursuit, and then we're done today, okay? Here's the first one. You drop your armor, you lose the battle. You drop your armor, you lose the battle. I've taught about the armor of God before, and that's not really my purpose here today. But the list of what you are clothed with as a warrior in Christ is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. A warrior never, everybody say never, never discards his armor. A warrior never neglects his armor. A warrior polishes his armor. He sharpens his sword. He cleans his shoes. He fixes dents. He takes care of anything that needs to be taken care of in regard to his armor. The Bible says that you are that your loins are girt about with truth. That means that inside of you, truth is reproducing in you. Truth is making decisions for you and eliminating all lies. The Bible says you have on the breastplate of righteousness, A person who is pursuing, fighting the enemy has to know, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Now you're a person who is imperfect. You've still got problems.
I said, you're talking about something at a whole nother level than what I'm talking about. You're talking about me. I'm talking to you about what Jesus has done and where I'm sitting positionally. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You got any problems with that? This counter's closed. You can go talk to God about that. But I am his righteousness. I carry his righteousness. Because the enemy batters against you all the time. You can't take land from me. Look at you. You're a fleshly thing. You know what I'm saying? You've got to know. I got on the breastplate of righteousness. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Some people say that, you know, there's only one offensive weapon in the armor. I wonder about that one. You know, they talked about the Roman shoes and all that in the old days and how they had spikes and stuff all over them. Man, you're fighting a Roman. You not only had to watch his sword, you had to watch his feet. Because, man, he could kick you with those spikes on his shoes, and, boy, it could be a deadly blow. I'm ready to talk about the gospel everywhere I go, and, boy, I'm a peace, not a peacekeeper. That's what the NATO troops are. I'm a peacemaker. I make peace. Even when the enemy says, I make it. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. A peacekeeper goes around like this. Well, can't we just all get along? Steve, I love your beard. He sits all day and combs it with this big comb. That's a peacekeeper. But a peacemaker is, we're here to establish peace. We're here to establish peace. That's like the gang unit shows up at the crack house. We're here to make this place a place of peace. Whatever it takes. You can come willingly, or you can come against your will. But it's going to be peace. So we've got our loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, we take our shield of faith, wherewith we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The enemy's going to be throwing fiery darts at you. Your faith. The Bible says in 1 John, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We have faith in God. We have faith in God. If the enemy sends a hail of arrows our way, and we think, what in the world is happening? We're pinned down. We're in trouble. We hold that shield of faith up. We say, we have faith in God. We have faith in his positioning. We have faith in his call. We have faith in his leadership. Bible says we have the helmet of salvation on our head. We don't go around wondering if we're delivered. We know we're delivered. We're convinced of it. And then we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Bible says that we pray on all occasions in the Spirit, watching thereunto for the preservation of all the saints. And there's that I speak in new tongue thing that pursues along with you. A language of preservation and defense and strengthening. But the Bible is telling us that we don't drop our armor. And some of you, the reason that you're losing to the enemy is one piece of that armor is being taken from you. You're letting the enemy convince you you're not delivered when you are. You're letting the enemy convince you you're not righteous when you are. You see what I'm saying? He usually attacks in the chest or in the head. He usually attacks you in the area of questioning your righteousness before God, or he'll attack you in the area of questioning your deliverance in God. Okay? So you're going to have to be sure you're fully dressed. Look at your neighbor and say, get dressed. Get dressed. Now look at your neighbor and say, stay dressed. All right. Amen. All right, last thing. Collusion with the enemy leads to destruction by the enemy. Collusion with the enemy leads to destruction by the enemy. There's some people trying to fight the enemy while at the same time they're in league with him. And that's just not going to work. Okay? Acts 19, verses 18 and 19, speaks of the salvation of a group of people in Ephesus. It says that those who practiced magic got rid of the items of witchcraft that they possessed. It states that they confessed their deeds. Well, the Greek word there for deeds means everything that was connected to magic arts, incantations, spells, or any item or activity connected with witchcraft or sorcery. You can't practice demonic arts and expect demons to yield to your authority. Now listen, I know I'm talking to a group of saved people, but listen up. This is very important, and this is an unpopular message in the church today. We don't talk about this because we don't want to lose crowds. We'd rather have butts in the seat than truth in the heart. Coins in the plate and butts in the seat. Trump, truth in the heart. But listen, let me tell you something. I want you to be equipped to win the battle, not get out there and lose the fight. All right. Believers don't practice the evil eye. They don't follow horoscopes, tarot cards, palm readers. They don't speak to the dead through Ouija boards or reading seances or looking at crystal balls to have their questions answered. Now, I'm gonna start meddling right now. They don't listen to blatantly evil music.
Okay, you say, now you're getting legalistic. I'm talking victory talk. You don't want to win? Fine. That's fine.
Let the enemy strip you, beat you, kick you. You want to be ineffective? Fine. But if you listen to his prophets and they fill you full of his propaganda, it's going to have an effect. You say, how do you know that? Because I did it. That's how I know that. I'm not speaking out of some slick-backed haired preacher that's got three teeth that never listened to anything other than please release me, let me go. I listen to that, but I listen to more than that. I listen to it, man. I know. I had 60-something albums, 200 LPs back in those days, and 8 tracks. Boy, I hated those things. You pull them out and they stayed in the thing, you know, strung out. I mean, I had all that stuff. I was listening to the world's prophets. You need to love the flesh. You need to love the flesh. You need to love the flesh. Go, Jesus, go. Ah, you need to love the flesh. You need to smoke some dope. You need to be hopeless. You need to be angry. You need to do this and that and all of that stuff. I'm not hooked on this. Give me the new Megadeth CD. Megadeth, that's what you're going to get. Megadose. I'm telling you now, you say you're getting legalistic. You go on out there and do it. There are spiritual influences behind that stuff. I remember when I piled all that stuff in a trash can and burned it that day. I was standing out in my backyard, brand new believer. I set fire to that stuff, and somebody walked up behind me. I knew it. I felt them. I saw them. I saw their shadow. Turned around. There was nobody there. There were spiritual influences involved in that stuff. And they didn't want me to let go of it. They wanted me to keep doing it. I looked at that whole stack and cold collection. There was a lot of money involved there. I said, Lord, can I sell it? He said, you gonna pass this on to somebody else? Out of greed? Because of greed? I said, but I just want to be a good steward. You know, in my finances, the Lord said, you want to be a good steward, get rid of it. And so we did. And you know what? He said, well, what am I supposed to listen to? I don't like KLTY. Well, I don't either, really. Too many commercials. Too many commercials. How many say too many commercials? Too many commercials. Well, you know, if you really want to hear something good, turn the radio off and listen to Jesus. Or turn on some good praise music. You know, for years I drove and still do in complete silence usually, talking to the Lord. Boy, I've heard some great things. I heard so many good things, I started carrying a recording device with me. And, oh, man, the Lord just said this. I don't want to forget this. All right? But we don't use drugs for relaxation or recreation. Did you know that in the Bible, witchcraft and drugs are the same word? And I'm not getting on you. I am not one of those people getting on you if you're taking medication for something. I'm talking about using it for, my doctor used to say, there's a whole lot of difference between using something medicinally and using it for a purpose of escape or something like that, or coping. And, you know, I'm just talking about we don't do those type of things, okay, as believers. And I hope you understand about the medication. I'm not putting down medication at all. But if you do that kind of stuff and come against the enemy, the demon's going to say the same thing to you. He said to the seven sons of Sceva in Acts 19:15, where he when they came against him and tried to fight the demon while they were in the flesh, and he said, Jesus, I know whose name you're using. And he said, Paul, I know. I even know some of these other people. He goes, but I don't recognize you. Remember that old sermon, Who in Hell Are You? The demons operate according to that principle. Because if your name's not known in hell as being a believer, then they're not. You know what? The only thing that they respond to is authority.
Amen.
That's true.
Not because they want to, but because they have to. So if you're going to have authority over them, you can't let them dilute your power by coming into agreement with them. Because if they preach to you constantly, you're going to, there's a reason why you want to listen to it. In some form or fashion, you're aligning your life to the words or the beliefs that they have. Okay? I know it's not a nice message. I don't care. I really don't. I don't care. I am so thankful somebody loved me enough to speak this to me in the beginning. Otherwise, I would be in a psychiatric hospital somewhere, doped up and in a straitjacket. I'm serious. All right. So don't drop your armor. You're going to need it. Don't drop that breastplate. Don't let the enemy talk you out of dropping that breastplate. And don't take your hat off. Don't let him talk you out of, well, you still got areas of your life. So well, you want to talk about some areas of somebody's life. You got a few. Let's talk about them. So let's talk about your future for a while. Dummy. You talk about somebody being dumb and deceived and messed up and ambitious and ridiculous. You who stood next to God, saw the glory and partook of the glory of God, the brightness of the Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, forfeited all of that out of pride. And now you're trying to get me to look at myself and determine what my destiny is going to be based on what I see in myself. I'm going to look to Jesus and determine what my destiny is going to be based upon what he said. Yeah, I'm not perfect, but he never said I had to be. He said I had to be obedient and submitted, and that's what I am. In the name of Jesus. And if there's an area of my life needs to be worked on, he won't send you to talk to me about it. Amen. That's right, Pastor Parkey, that's good. Last thing I want to say on that subject is this. And then we're done. Removing evil items in one's possession is a part of true deliverance and repentance. It is a part of true deliverance and repentance. If you're still hanging on to things, now it says if, it's supposed to be is, that's my fault. Removing evil items in one's possession is a part of true deliverance and repentance. Okay? If you want to be delivered, get rid of it. If you're truly repenting, that means you've changed your mind and you're going to another direction. Okay?